Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria with Compassion Radio. For almost 75 years now, you've generously enabled the ministry, projects, and vision of our founders, Wilbur and Norm Nelson. Today, we continue to need your support and prayers. Please help us continue to offer this timely and inspiring program here each day. Your gift is needed now more than ever. Contact us by phone, mail, or online. 1-800-868-2478. And, of course, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much.
Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
We were able to employ the educated people, the men and women in the village, to teach in the school who didn't have any employment opportunity whatsoever.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Thanks for tuning in. In today's conversation, we're going to introduce you to a new friend. Well, actually, he's a friend of a friend who Bram Floria is just getting to know through shared acquaintances with a ministry called Conscience International. And once you get the gist of this man's story and how he went back to his roots in Bangladesh to do some vital work in a seemingly forgotten land, this is exactly the kind of energizing ministry partner that we like to rub shoulders with here at Compassion Radio. Here's Bram with our Monday introductions.
Richard Starker, joining me here from Pennsylvania right now, is a great friend of the ministry through our association and long-standing relationship with Conscience International. Richard, welcome to Compassion Radio today.
Thank you, Bram. I'm happy to be here.
I know that you and I have been friends on Facebook for a while because of our mutual friendships with Jim. But yeah. I don't know much about your background, so would you mind telling me a little bit about how you came to be involved with Conscience International?
I'm originally from Bangladesh, and I've been living here for almost 26 years now. And then at some point, I wanted to start a project in my home village, which is very poor. There were no school, no clinic. We hired a pastor for our church, and there were no pastoral quarters or anything like that. So I decided to donate some land that I inherited from my parents and build a school and a clinic and all that. And then I wanted to do this project. And when I came here, I did some fundraising. And that's how I became involved with Conscience International. So, because they have this 501(c) status, the financial transactions and all that. Mm-hmm. And in the past, they did it for our church in Haiti. And then they helped me, and I went and started this project, built a complex there. And then Conscience International, Dr. Jennings asked me if I could be involved with them as a volunteer. And that's how I did. And
so the work you began with Dr. Jennings happened in Haiti?
Yeah, because they were there, working there after the earthquake.
Right.
And my church wanted to build a school in Haiti in the same area. And Conscience International helped to implement that.
Now, you have a very colorful history with the folks over at Conscience International. I want to explore that a little bit today. So tell me a little bit about how you came from the other side of the world to be involved with a church that was very missional-minded there in Pennsylvania.
Yes, because I have been here for 26 years in America, and when we came here, of course, the things were not good. Things were grim, and there were times that we felt like that there is no end of the tunnel. But after so many years, we have been blessed, my children, my wife. And then when I went back to my village, I saw the hopelessness where I was born. So I thought we should do something, because we said that charity begins at home. And I was going all over the world doing charity work, and I forgot about my own roots. There was no school, no health care, nothing at all. So that's how I became involved with the Conscience International. And we have been in a very good relationship for the last 6+ years.
So as a Bangladeshi living in America, how did you discover it was important for you to go back to your roots and help your home village? And where exactly is that village?
It is about 120 kilometers north of the capital city, Dhaka. Mm-hmm. It's a very remote village where I was born and raised as a kid. And surprisingly, when I was born there, there was no running water. Mm. And after so many years, still there is no running water.
You've been gone for almost a quarter century and still no running water.
Yeah, no paved road, nothing at all. And there were no school when I went back. And people were dying immaturely of diarrhea, which is very simple nowadays. And when somebody died from our church out of diarrhea, they raised the flag that, well, I can just sit still and watch people dying like that. So I donated my land that I inherited from my parents and decided to build a school and a clinic at the pastoral quarter that we hired to take care of our church.
So you were addressing some of the physical needs and some of the social needs, as
yes.
well as some of the spiritual needs. And those things really are
exactly.
integrated. They're all together. And we discover that everywhere we go in the world, that there are
yes.
needs that overlap and intertwine. I think God intended it to be that way. So when
exactly.
you address one thing, you introduce hope into another area. So
yeah.
how did
and
you...
then when we started, sometimes we didn't know where we'll end up. And when we started, we saw so many needs. And we started taking care of one small need at a time because we didn't have all the funding to solve all the problems.
So, right. So tell me about how that project came to fruit and how you met Jim Jennings of Conscious International through all that work.
Well, Conscious International helped our church to build a school in Haiti after the earthquake. And Conscious International already was there building homes. So we were in touch with Conscious International. They helped us to implement. So when I started this thinking about my project back in Bangladesh, my church people, they said, you know, Conscious International will be the best contact for you to do the same kind of thing in Bangladesh. So I contacted Dr. Jennings, and he was very kind. He said, yeah, sure. We'll sign a MOU and we will help you. So that's how we did. And I went through Conscious International to build a school and a clinic. And the pastoral quarter is a nice big complex on my ancestral property. And then when I finished it, Dr. Jennings invited me to join their team. And I gladly accepted this.
And I've seen the way he works with the people that are on the field with him. The best auditions are always the ones where God brings the fruit and people have put a lot of elbow grease into the work they do.
Yeah, and I'm blessed to be part of Conscious International. And I have been to many places, including Pakistan. And you have been to Lesbos Island, Moria Camp, and I was there twice already.
Very good.
To help the refugees. So, and at this point of my life, I enjoy doing this, and God has blessed me abundantly to take care of the people who are in need, including my own village.
And that village continues to prosper, I suppose, from the seed you planted there. How has that village transformed over the years since that project was completed?
Well, like I said, there were no school, and we started with the kindergarten grades, like three grades, and then gradually we added one more grade each year. And up to this time, we have up to grade 5.
Very good.
And we were able to employ the educated people, there are men and women in that village, to teach in the school who didn't have any employment opportunity whatsoever. And it's a small Christian village surrounded by all Muslims.
Hmm. So
and that is our ministry among the Muslims because we have teachers. We hire teachers from the Muslim community because 70 to 75% of our students come from the Muslim community.
And, of course, a lot of American missions would consider that to be a strange syncretism, that it wouldn't really allow the gospel to flourish. What has been your experience about not just working with Muslims or teaching their children, but inviting Muslims to come into the homes and lives of Christians? What kind of things happen when that occurs?
Exactly. And as the Bible said, our duty is to sow the seed. And bringing fruits is, we depend to God to bring fruits. And we can see the fruits coming because before we started this project, there was no good relationship between Muslims and Christians. But since we started this, And of course, this school belongs to the Christian community and the church. Mm. And we were not sure whether the Muslims will send their kids. And we had to go door to door to do a survey before we started it. And we started with 80 kids in 2012. And now we have almost 190 students.
Wow.
And more want to come. And we don't have space. And we have to go for a new facility, which I am going to do next year.
Oh, very good.
And I'm in the process of raising funds, again, through Conscious International, and build another complex so that we can accommodate all the students. And unfortunately, we had to say no to many of the parents that we could not take them anymore.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to say.
Yeah, but nothing like that. And, of course, side by side, we took care of the students who go to college. We are giving them a little bit scholarship. And, of course, social transformation is very important. So we try to help. You have heard about Heifer International?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, so I started a similar project. We are giving goats to the widows who don't have any employment opportunity. So
very
we give
good.
Them two female goats so that they can multiply in those. And yeah.
When you transform families like that and you give honor to those who are widows, it turns a whole economic and spiritual society on its head, because it really says, this is what the gospel says is valuable.
Yeah.
Jesus came to save the widows and the orphans.
Yeah, instead of giving handouts. And before we started, we had big meetings with the leaders of Muslim leaders and all that.
Yeah.
And we tried to explain that we are not going to give you fish to eat today or tomorrow. We will teach you how to fish. You remember about this Chinese proverb.
Yes.
And that's what we try to do. We want to give them the tools so that they can be respectfully, they can improve their own lives.
Fascinating conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment after this word from Cher Nelson.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. Well, we're delighted to do so, but now we hope that your Christmas spirit is available this early to make that possible. For $6, you can place a Bible in the hands of a Christian family who is just aching for one. We know that for every Bible we place, and there are other members in the family who will have access to that Bible, that there will be 4 or 5 people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day, so we know how great the need is. Now, can you get in your Christmas spirit, and can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you year after year, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. And as you probably know, we also believe that that is the only answer to terrorism and Islamization, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Now, let's get back to today's program.
We want to give them the tools so that they can be respectfully, they can improve their own lives. And now, every year, we have a pre-Christmas celebration.
Hmm.
And that happens after 20th of December, just before Christmas. And we have all the local government representatives, local leaders, elites, Muslims, Christians, Hindus, everybody is invited. And they come and celebrate Christmas with us.
Very
even
good.
The government officials.
And these are not just about cultural traditions either. When you do your Christmas, you're really talking about bringing Christ in the middle of a community.
Exactly.
So it's not a politically correct issue for you. It's about bringing Jesus in. And
exactly.
Everybody you work with is not going to be Christian right off the bat, but there's going to be a stream. God calls people to himself, and we should not be afraid of interacting with those who don't call Christ their Lord. And we talk about how important evangelism is here in America, how much more essential it is in countries like Bangladesh that are not just developing, but are at the crossroads of an awful lot of violent ideologies.
Oh, yes, yes. And that's what we are trying to do, that instead of telling them that you need to be baptized right away or anything, we are sowing the seeds. Gradually, we are trying to make a social transformation and people so that they know that what Christianity means, what Jesus means in our life.
And Richard, you said that the hardest burden you've had the past couple of years, perhaps, is telling people they can't send their kids to the school because you've reached capacity. Now, I know I've heard it cynically said before that nothing is more of a burden than success, and that you always get stuck with more problems when things go well. Now, of course, that's kind of done tongue-in-cheek, because we all want to be successful at the things, especially that God calls us to. But you are still left with a burden of how to grow and fulfill the mission you have to reach everybody. So how is God stretching your faith in this process?
Well, my goal is, and I say to God that, well, I'm trying to do my best, and I'm getting older, and I travel around and try to do your work, and then I pray to you that you keep me going and keep me safe and healthy so that I can continue to do your will. So I go there with that mindset that it is up to God to change people's lives, and I can be only the instrument to make it happen. And I can see in my village that we had all the skepticism that whether the Muslims will cooperate with us. Even somebody asked me whether the Muslims will resist that, because they might think that we have ulterior motive that to start converting people and all that. We tried to prove that, no, that's not our intention.
Well, I think it would be fair to say in the American idiom that it's not our only intention. Because, of course, you do want to bring the gospel to them in an open way, but you've got to do it in such a loving way that the community understands you are no threat to them as people. When they tie an ideology together with a religion, with a culture that seems contrary or antagonistic toward your own, there's going to be flare-up points.
So, and I don't know if you know, in Bangladesh, there are people who do in Islamic language. You know, I have a brother, he himself is like a trained in evangelism among the Muslims. And what they do when they preach, when they bring the gospel, they bring in their own language, you know, like so they use different terms for Jesus, for example, you know, Isa Masih and those kind of things. So when we do this in our village, we invite someone like my brother to come and preach the gospel about Christmas and all that thing. So that helps, because we are not directly telling them, you know. So they're very pleased. And every year, the number goes up, you know, like normally around 1,000 now. It started with like 400-500, but now we don't have that much of space. People can stand in the back and all that. So we had to buy a microphone so that everybody can listen to us.
Now, Richard, let me hold for a second here and just kind of remind our Compassion Radio listening partners out there what's transpired there in this little village in Bangladesh. Because of the testimony and witness of Richard, he put all of his legacy, his inheritance, on the line for Jesus, because he saw that after a quarter century, nothing had improved in that village after he'd left, and it broke his heart. So he did the obedient thing, which was to give his loaves and fishes to Jesus and see how he would multiply them. And the story we've been hearing is about how God has multiplied those loaves and fishes in ways that have fed souls. And, of course, you're doing things, Richard, in your community that we say on paper we really want to do here in the West, but we really don't commit ourselves often to doing it, which is to go across the line and learn to speak somebody else's language, to learn how to interact with them in their own terms, in their own culture, in such a way that Jesus can be brought to them as a gift, not a threat. And that's a big, big step you've taken there, and you've done a great job. And just what you've told me about your brother becoming an evangelism within Islam is powerful. It reminds me of where Paul put himself at odds with the Jewish culture of his day by saying, I'll be the Greek to the Greek. I'll be the Jew to the Jew. I'll do the things that are necessary for me to bring Jesus where he's told me to take him. So it sounds to me like in some ways you and your brother have been on Mars Hill. You've also been in the synagogues. You've done all the things that the original apostles did to take the gospel into places where it had never, ever been discussed before.
Yes, what you said is very true, that I'm from that part of the world, and I understand the language, the culture, the tradition, and all that. And I think that God inspired me to be there in his mission, and I'm trying to accomplish what he wanted us to accomplish in that small village. And of course, change is not doesn't come too fast. It's gradual. So I can see the results. We are seeing the fruits of our labor and to a social transformation and changing people's heart. And of course, when you do things like that, they naturally ask what is our motivation. And we have the opportunity to say why we do this, what we are doing, because Jesus told us to do and help the poor and feed the hungry and treat the sick and take care of to the homeless.
Yeah.
And that's what we are trying to do there. And I'm grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah, and you've also taken Jesus to Islam. The majority of the people in the area are Muslim. And you introduced Jesus in a whole new light. So you brought to them a whole new perspective on one of their prophets. And, of course, we know that when we bring a transforming view of things, our view is transformed.
Yeah.
So I'm very... Go ahead.
When I go there, you know, like the people will come, the Muslim, they will come, and I don't want to boast about it, but I feel so grateful that people think that way. They say, you know, you are like a prophet to us. Who in the world, we have a lot of rich people in this area, they're not putting anything for our children's education or health care or anything, but you left the country. You left the village so many years ago. You live more than 10,000 miles away, and you came back. You have that heart to come and take care of us. You are like a prophet to us. You are angel.
Hey, Richard, that sounds to me like one of the highest honors, from what I understand of Islam.
Yeah.
One of the highest honors on earth that you could give somebody is to say that you have the spirit or the person or the identity of a prophet.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And when I go there, everybody wants to invite me to even if they're poor, and they will come and say, you know, I caught a fish from my pond, and I want you to come and have a meal with us. And they're all Muslims. Why do they do these things to me?
Because they've seen Jesus. Wow.
Yes.
Well, very good. Richard, this has been a great conversation so far, and I want to carry it over to a very important current event that is at the heart of what Conscience International is doing right now in that part of the world, and it's also been world news. So I'd like to carry this conversation over to part two here with Richard Starker, now of the Conscience International team, and we'll get back to that conversation next.
Yeah, sure.
Friends, together we inherit an incredible legacy and opportunity to support the entire body of Christ around the world. For decades, this ministry has gone to the places where virtually no other ministry or media agency has gone, to bring you the stories of God's victory and the amazing work of His people. Why do we do it? One, to encourage the faithful in some of the toughest places on earth. And two, to inspire you to exercise your faith in effective, knowledgeable prayer and through practical help to those that need to see the compassion of Jesus. A hallmark of this ministry for over two decades is our annual God's Word for China project. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China. These are new, professing disciples of Jesus who are passionate and motivated to grow in their faith. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? We've told you about the need. Let us hear from you. And while you're at it, let us know what you're thankful for this year. And let us know that you want us to continue doing this work now and for the years to come. For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month, we'd love to send you something that will remind you to pray every day for the church in China. we have a new supply of two very special and popular crosses made in China. One is a beautiful dark mahogany tinted wood, and the other is a pewter cross of nails. They can be worn around your neck. You can hang them from the mirror in your car, or you can pin it to your message board at home. Any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.